Blog Talk Radio.
Everybody, welcome to Garden of Enlightenment with Lou Wildove. Let me tell you a little bit about ourselves. This radio group is supported by Late Night Poets, and you can find us on allpoetry.com. It is the largest poetry site. It's free to join, and you can find our group there, again, Late Night Poets. And just to let you know, that these radio shows in the evening and also the after midnight shows are all supported by books, poems. I got tongue twisted today. That poets have donated their poetry to write these fantastic books for all these radio shows, and you can find us on Amazon.com. They're beautiful, huge books written from poets from around the world, and they make fabulous gifts and look great on your coffee table. So please go check us out at Amazon.com, Late Night Poets Anthology. And we are going to be doing a little bit of poems that were not read from last week, and we're doing front page picks. And what I do is I gather all the front page picks from the group for the month, for example, of this month, February, and then we read them in March. And also, we also do open poetry, so you can put an open poem into the bottom of the group, and we do that second hour. So we're going to get started. Let me pick up everybody, and a shout out to Hope and to Astra. Oh my goodness, I'm probably good. Astra. I think I probably said that wrong. Please forgive me. And also to After the Fire, who's out in the group. Hey, 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 guys. Welcome, welcome. So here we go. Hello, Katie.
Hello, my darling. How are you?
I'm doing fine. And how is my best girl from Scotland?
I'm doing okay, hen. How's yourself? Oh, I did it again.
Well, welcome.
Thank you.
No, that's okay. Just be yourself, because that's the way I love you. And we have another caller, caller 512. And who is this sexy Spaniard?
Well, I said, as I said before, it's not ball. If it's not Valderas, it would be me, no?
Welcome, welcome. And this is one of our other co-hosts. And we have another caller, caller 585. Who am I speaking with?
Lovely Lou Yu, Fiery Katie, Fabulous Frank. Good evening.
Hello, hello,
hey,
hello.
Hey, Laurent.
Hello, Weaver.
The buttery, very white voice. Welcome, welcome. And we have another caller, caller 778. Who am I speaking with?
Hello, Lou Yu. Hi, Weaver. Hi, Laurent.
Hey,
hi, Frank.
Gray Eyes.
Hello,
and
hey, Gray.
This is my right-hand man. He'll be doing
hi,
the phone lines, I mean, doing the recording. And we have another caller. Later. Caller 707, who am I speaking with?
Irish Rose.
Hi, Irish Rose. How are you doing today? Welcome, welcome.
I'm doing fine. Thank you.
Welcome to the show. So, Katie, we are ready for you to drop in our first poem, and let's get started. And, hey, Nuno. Yeah, Nuno's on. Hey, Nuno.
Hey, Nuno. Okay, we have. I'm sorry, I'm hearing, I think, what is a radio in the background.
If somebody,
very loud.
If you've got your TV on, you need to please turn it off, because the phone lines will pick up everything. Thank you.
Thank you.
Now we can hear.
I was all organized. Right. If time could fade past by. Agent Zero. I think Agent Zero would probably be a gentleman. So, Frank, could I ask you to read this, please?
No, by all means. This is a poem by Agent Zero. It's all if time could fade past. It goes like this. There's a quote there, I believe, by Eleanor Roosevelt, so I won't read that. Say, sweet Nicole, Katie Furman, who've occupied my time. Like a matchback car when I was a little kid. 10 years later, watching Snake Nick bake, chisel the race tracks like an amador tracing footprints for archaeologists to follow down in the Pine Lands, the only town the maroon farmers are safe. I keep my namesake next to her coffin. I wait, like a good general, for the final flag banner raised, then swooping to protect my honey tree. She's like three world wars in one, can't control me forever. A biscuit at her door, gravy ready to be savagely devoured, eaten for West Virginia, Ohio, Pennsylvania, Virginia, bread in between, a chalk line behind my name. I'm dead, because we fell too hard, too close, too much, Catherine and her. The whore suffers, the man's whore smiles, the joker has this woman once again. love her a million times, plus 10, end of poem.
Fantastic. Read Frank. That's okay. That's what all poetry is what, you know, what you express. And would you do me a favor and read that quote by, read the quote so people can understand what were the poems that were being written
all
for?
All right. The quote is by Eleanor Roosevelt, which was the wife of a mistaken Franklin Delano Roosevelt. If life were predictable, it would cease to be life and be without flavor. End of quote.
Agreed. Thank you so much. And thank you for reading that. I would like to know what you thought about this poem, Katie.
Sorry, mute again. I was mutating. Sorry about that. I thought this was absolutely... I know it's quite scary. You get kind of chilly. I thought this was actually amazingly interesting. I keep my namesake next to her coffin. I wait like a good general for the final flag banner raised and swoop in to protect my honey tree. Oh, so cool. Virginia bred in between the chalk line behind my name. I don't understand that. I'm sorry. That's American and I don't understand everything. I'm so sorry. If it was Scottish, perhaps. I'm dead because we fell too hard, too close, too much caffeine in her. The whore shuffles, the man whore smiles, the joker has his woman once again. Love her a million times plus 10. Well, that sounds like an incredibly interesting relationship, unless I'm reading it wrong. Mm-hmm. Very interesting, very well written, fascinating, actually. But I will have to come back to it again, perhaps, to understand it more fully. So back to you, my dear.
Thank you. And because we have so much poetry, we're going to do 3 comments per poem. So here we go. And Laurent, what did you think of the poem? Thank you, Katie.
This seems a piece in remembrance of someone, a love was passed on. Often is mentioned. He keeps his namesake. I wonder if it's some kind of a flower. She was a turbulent woman, like 3 world wars in one. She couldn't control me forever. I love the metaphors of gravy ready to be savagely devoured, eaten by West Virginia, Ohio, Pennsylvania, Virginia bred in between. It implies travel. I think someone who had to be on the road or gone for long periods of time. The last line, the horse shuffles, the man horse smiles. Joker has his woman once again. It sounds to me like he lost her, but expresses her love a million times plus 10. I found this very moving.
Great. Thank you, Laurent. Fantastic comment. And Frank, you read the poem, and what did you think about the poem?
Well, I have to admit, I was thrown off a bit there by the poem. In the reference there to the name mentioned, I was trying to Google and see if that's an actual name of a person. You know, I didn't know if this had to do with, when you talk about the Joker, the Batman came to mind. There is so much in this poem that's been said here, and I like the title here, Time Could Fade Past. I think the one unique thing that I enjoyed was what Laurent was saying, you know, the turbulence of how he depicted her as 3 world wars. I thought it was very intense, the poem, and I thought it was just a remarkable write with great emotions expressed in this poem.
Well, fantastic comment. Thank you, Frank, and thank you for reading. And we're ready for our next poem, Katie.
Okay, next poem is got a SoundCloud, and it's 166400 Lilith. Is all I have on it. So if Gray would like to do his magic.
Right? I apologize. I'm just trying to find it here. What's the name of the poem?
All I've got is Lilith on the screen here at the moment.
Yeah, it's a recording by Arcana. It's by Arcana.
Oh. Is it?
Yes. He has 2 poems up. One of them is titled Lilith.
Okay, well, I'm not finding it here.
You want to do another poem and then let him find it afterwards?
Okay, here we go. Okay.
Okay.
I've got it.
Did you find it? Okay.
Yeah, I believe so. it's called Lilith?
Yeah, Lilith Unbound.
Okay. Well, I don't see a poem by that name. I see Dark Laments and... Oh, here we go. Yep, Lilith Unbound. Sorry about that.
Below thy shadow writhes hordes of demons. From the gates of death thou awakens desire to rise in thy embrace and descend unto the pit, whence those who enter shall ne'er aspire. Thou bathes in darkness by the shores of Sheol to ride the blind dragon mid showers of sin. Such devious delights be drowned in depravity, with rapacious rapture thou stains within. Pleasuring perversions twixt moonlit mendacity, of seductive suggestion from a somnolent stare. Thy tongue deceives neath a serpent's smile, to blow tender kisses upon sleep to snare. Thou sows thy seed so gathered with glee, with licentious lust on fallen prayers. Cometh hell's harlot who poisons dreams, thus swelling the legions of Samael's lairs. Beware thy beauty that boasts betrayals, from thy fiery frenzy as thou decreed, refusing submission to e'er lay asunder, of Adam's pious pleas thou paid no heed. Yon creature of corruption demands desire, this nightbird who flies mid darkened skies, as thou vomit'st thy vile voluptuous venom with lecherous lies whence virtue dies. From obsequious orgies mid mundane magic, faith shalt falter whence the Lamia wouldst lay, to dance with the devil on the fates of souls, leading innocence astray midst evil sway.
Arcana for his poem and his wonderful recording. You know, his poetry is so smooth and eccentric and fascinating, and how he weaves his stories of darkness. I really love this stanza of warning here, where he says, "Beware thy beauty that boasts betrayal, from thy fiery frenzy as though decreed, refusing submission to e'er lay asunder of Adam's pious pleas, though paid no heed." Ah, the ominous warnings and darkness. Ah, this was just fantastic. Thank you so much, Arcana. And just to let you know, one of our callers dropped. Sometimes the system does do that, even drops the host. So if you're listening, please try and call back. Gray Eyes, what did you think of Arcana's poem?
Well, I agree with you on his talent for writing and reading his poetry. You know, that's definitely clear in this rite as well. But I found the poem intriguing and dark, fascinating throughout, beautiful, great, and an excellent read.
Thank you. And because we had one of our callers drop, we're going to be ring-a-dinging it tonight. Katie, you are up next to comment. What did you think of Arcanist poem?
Well, as ever, absolutely wonderful. Oh, it just it seemed to slide off his tongue like silk.
So
good to listen to. It really is. And the alliteration and the sensual sound and the music and everything. Just wonderful. And, of course, I'll probably be talking. Are we talking vampires? I think it's vampires, isn't it, by the look of the teeth and the blood? Yes, my favorite thing. Although, as I vomit thy vile voluptuous venom, that's not quite as sexy, but very good. Very good. You know,
agreed.
Yeah.
Agreed. It is. I mean, it's you know, it's like trying to say how beautiful the diamond is. You know, sometimes there's just no words to some of these poets that write on this site. That's why I enjoy it so much. Okay, we are ready for our next one.
Okay.
The
sound. Oh yeah.
Well, I was going to do three comments, so we're going to keep rotating them because I have 28 poems tonight. I commented. Gray commented.
Okay.
And I did make a list, corazón.
I forgot that you. I forgot you commented on there. I didn't realize that you included yourself there. But...
Okay, that's all right. No problema.
Okay, the next one is "The Sound of a Faraway Train" by After the Fire, and Laurent, would you like to read this?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'll be happy to.
Thank you.
You just find it. Okay. The sound of a faraway train. She sits at the table and dreams of a way she can circumvent all of her pain. Her wishes disperse, and she smiles as she hears the sweet sound of a faraway train. She wonders if it carries people whole. Perhaps she can hop it someday. Riding the rails with the wind in her sails, the past slowly fading away. Alas, she's trapped by marriage from hell, her life as his servant, her bane. She packs up her wishes and places her bets on the sound of a faraway train. And
oh, my goodness. Oh, Dave. Wow. Fantastic read, Laurent, and we're going to get to the comments. And let me check my phone lines in case the other caller called back, and no, she did not. So let's go ahead and start. Laurent, I know you read the poem, but it's your turn to comment. I would love to see what you think of Dave's poem.
This is the title, which is picked up in the last line, are the bookends to a moment, a person running from her past towards hopefully a better future. And the poem speaks so evocatively, riding the rails with the wind in her sails her past slowly fading away. Already, her pain is, I think, diminished, and she's going to escape this track. You know, one can imagine the sound of a faraway train. It's a wonderful sound. It evokes all kinds of emotions. The poem really brings that out. It's a startling little piece.
Mm-hmm. Great. Thank you, Lot. And you did a good job in reading that. And how about you, Frank?
Oh, yeah. I agree. It was a great read there. I thought the poem was very, somewhat haunting, I would say. Train there and trying to realize, you know, when you're trapped in a marriage, there, you know, there's so much deep, raw emotion in this poem here. I think the train was a perfect pick here. The poem was remarkable in that sense.
I agree. Excellent comment. And how about you, Greg? Right.
Oh, sorry, I've been commenting on mute. You did an excellent read of that, Laurent. And I like the poem. It reminds me of somebody I know who would hear the sound of the far-off train and just fall in love with it as we were having a conversation. So it's beautiful, and it touches my heart. So wonderfully done.
Wonderful comment. Thank you so much. And thank you, Dave. Really enjoyed it, reminding me of my childhood. And that's how I put my ticket on that train that I could hear far away. You know, sometimes you just can't get away. Sometimes it's your dreams that take you. And I thought he brought that out. Fantastic. And we're ready for our next poem, Katie.
Okay. Next one is Ramon by Average White Man. So, Dre, would you like to read this, please?
Sure, you betcha. Okay, here we go. This is called Ramant by Average White Man. She was never a mystery to me. It was like looking at myself in the mirror. Not that we looked alike. She was all full lips, ocean-like emerald eyes, thick at the hips, tiny waist, and ample thighs. She was all tumbling autumn locks and freckles, like an expressionist masterpiece. If she mouthed the content of the phone book, the words would drip from her mouth like a classic, seductive love song. More than that, her heart was so delicate, like an undiscovered Fabergé egg, beautifully painted and ensconced with dancing jewels. Her haunted soul was crying out for the declarations of this romantic fool, and I dutifully delivered with pride and hitherto unknown revelations of desire. Yes, it's fair to say that I fell in love. Felled and forever fallen, I am. Just when I think I'm done with words for her, they bubble forth from deep within, and I'm compelled to express from my very marrow my artful ramblings of a romance like no other. End poem.
Gray, you did a fantastic job in reading this poem by the Average White Man. The imagery is just fabulous throughout here. The way that he describes her, the way that he watched her, says if she mouthed the contents of the phone book, the words would drip from her mouth, you know, and you just are just so enraptured by somebody that all their simple inclinations is what you fall in love with the most. But my favorite is that last stanza where, you know, he says how much he loves her. Yes, it's fair to say that I fell in love, felled and forever fallen. I am. Just when I think I'm done with words for her, they bubble forth from deep within. I am compelled to express from my very marrow my artful rambling of romance like no other. You know, and when you love somebody so much, you love them so deeply, there's no ending to the words and admirations that you would share about them. And I thought this was a gorgeous poem, and I would like to know what you thought about the poem, Katie.
Oh, it was absolutely beautiful. It was just so, I mean, fancy being loved like, I would fancy being loved like that. Of course I would, anybody would. Absolutely beautiful. I mean, even her thick hips, not a problem. Absolutely wonderful. This man knows what he's talking about. I just thought it was completely beautiful. I liked it. It just seemed to ooze that kind of smothering love. Like, it's not a bad thing. It's a beautiful thing. But, I enjoyed it amazingly. So thank you so much for sharing.
And Laurent, what did you think of the Average White Man's poem?
I like that a great deal. It was a question in my mind in the first stanza about whether we're talking about a man or a woman. When the author says, "Was I looking at myself in the mirror?" Is that because they were so alike that what was reflected back was him because he was like that? Or was it because the lover is a woman? I don't know. But I'll echo what Katie said. It has a lot of flavor of pure love. Excuse me. Wow. Pure love, a romance like no other, and he uses metaphors that are quite powerful. I like his piece.
Great. Thank you, Laura. Wonderful comment. And Katie, we're back to you for our next poem. Oh, what a beautiful picture.
Oh, sorry. Can you hear me?
We can now.
Oh, my goodness.
don't scare me like that. I go look at the phone. Like, oh, my God. No, you ain't get back too.
She's over there.
I'm so sorry. Oh, dear. It was a shock of seeing this flipping poem arrive again. I thought I'd got rid of it last week, and here it is again. So I apologize in advance, because it's very sweet and sickly, so don't be ill, okay? And it's got a sound cloud.
Nothing like sweet, sickly, tons of kisses, Weaver. Don't put it down.
Okay. Okay. I'll be warned.
Soft, pale,
and
from a riot of roses drift serenely down to settle so gently on your alabaster skin. Sweet jasmine scented oil, massaged all over, wakes up your libido, liberates all senses. You are slowly aroused. When you start to move, stretch, sleek and sensual, the curve of your body is sublime. I feel you reaching towards me. Then I awake.
Oh, my goodness. I even love the photo. You're not going to believe this. This is so weird, like deja vu. I just bought a sensual jasmine rose oil to smother and massage all over my skin.
Get out of here.
Mm. I'll send you a picture, girl. I'm not lying.
Oh, cool.
You know, there's nothing like a scented jasmine and rose oils. If you just, it's just languidly smooth on your skin, but when you smooth it on somebody else's skin, of course that is going to pick up your libido. Of course, this is what I love this. On your alabaster skin, jasmine scented oil massage all over, wakes up your libido, liberates all your senses. You are slowly aroused. And, oh, girl, you caught that and you nailed it. This is just beautiful, and you kind of caught me off guard when I – there was a reason we played this tonight, because I just ordered it this week. I just got it in the mail. Mm-hmm. Love you, girl. Beautiful read and beautiful poem. And I commented out of turn. I apologize, but no, I'm not sorry. Okay. Frank, what did you think?
Well, I'm wondering if I'm going to receive one of those photos there, because that's sweet jasmine scented oil. Sounds good. How did you know I actually love that type of oil as well?
It smells so good.
Yeah, we have jasmines back in Spain, and they are very beautifully scented in oil and just beautiful. I thought this poem was very sensual, but I thought it was romantically sensual. I like it's brief. I know it's a brief poem, but I definitely love the way you portray the poem here. Just made me even this poem here, I would say, with this type of poetry. It was great. And the petals and the title was great. It was just a fantastic read as well. And right there, Weaver.
Thank you.
I agree.
Definitely open the window
Thank
for tonight.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, let the scent of, yeah, I have wild jasmine growing outside my window. I just love the way it smells.
Oh, definitely.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, those are beautiful.
Yeah. Yes, they are. And Gray, what did you think?
Well, Weaver, you raised the temperature in my house, that's for sure. It's not as cold as it was before your read and your rose. powerfully engaging and a delight to hear you read it. So beautiful job.
Thank you. So
great. And Laurent, would you like to make a comment on her poem since it's just a few of us now? Laurent?
Sorry. I'm mute.
Oh,
I was coughing, so I decided to mute. I beg your pardon. Yeah.
Oh, that's okay. I understand. That's all right.
There are no words of fire in this poem. What we have is the sweet nectar of romantic love, mm-hmm. and it's delicious. And I, for one, would refuse to wake up if this was my dream. Beautiful, romantic, and sexual, Katie.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Excellent comment, Laurent. Okay, sweetness, we are ready for our next poem. Can't hear you, Weaver. You muted.
Hello. This is becoming a habit now, isn't it? I got so embarrassed I forget to press the button. Oh, okay, this is Absorbing You by Hatch, and I will read this one. Okay. If we hadn't met, I would have been consumed by emptiness, yearning to step out of the ordinary world, bearing the dalliance that doesn't make me happy. I should be dalliance, sorry. I woke up in the middle of the night with the burning flame, undressed the grey shirt, stood under the warm shower. You touched me with every drop, the warmth that caressed me. It was you. I breathed you in my lungs. And you were the mirror I stared into, your gaze back at me in the mist. Now you are me. A burden of the world fell from me. I dissolved, dove into the waters of the ocean. The ocean is you. End poem.
Oh my goodness, that is a beautiful read, Katie, and you did a wonderful job of reading Hatch Absorbing You poem. You know, I was looking at the quote that she picked up, and by Joanna Garrido, you are the one breath that pulls all the remaining breath back into my body. And I thought that she so beautifully caught that, where she said, you touched me with every drop, the warmth that caressed me. It was you. I breathed you in the lungs. And you were the mirror I stared into, your gaze back at me in the mist. Oh, what beautiful stanzas. And what did you think about the poem? And let me flip this over. And what did you think about the poem that you read, Katie?
Oh, yes, it was definitely, this was awful, what? Absorbing You. I mean, you could not have got anything that explained that title better than these words. It's just so, it was sad and sweet and you were the mirror I stared into, you gazed back at me in the mist. Now you are in me, a burden of the world fell from me. I dissolved, dove into the waters of the ocean. The ocean is you. I know I just read it and I read it again, but it warrants being read again. It's absolutely beautiful. So
it is. It was stunning.
Yeah. Stunning. Mm-hmm. That's the word, darling. That's the word. Stunning.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
I agree. And what did you think, Laurent?
I'll go with stunning. I like that. You know, when two people engage each other physically like this, and you love that person, and that person means so much to you that you begin to, as the title says, absorb them. You can also find yourself completely sublimated into the other person. There's emerging. And the idea of carrying someone within you, carrying their spirit, carrying their love, comparing the sharp memories of every day, it's really quite a beautiful piece, and speaks to a depth that perhaps the words don't naturally reflect. It's deep.
Yeah, I agree. Wonderful comment. And how about you, Frank?
Well, I think Laurent took my words there, my comment there. I commend him on that analogy there. This poem really does remind me of someone who was reminiscent of a loved, reverential piece here that's reminiscent of a person who's deeply, deeply longing for someone so loved. But the analogy here to the waters of the ocean were part of the ocean as the, but I thought it was just an excellent write and a great analogy there, and I thought it was a very emotive as well.
Agreed. Thank you, Frank. And how about you, Gray?
Are you open?
Yeah, I love the read and the write. I mean, it was just fantastic throughout. You know, you can feel the absorption of the poem into your soul as you read it. So beautifully crafted.
Thank you, Gray. And we're ready for our next poem, Katie.
Okay, I'm unmuted. I feel so proud of myself. And hope to die by the drip. Oh, we've got and hope to die by the drip. I'm presuming, probably wrongly, this might be a gentleman. Laurent. Is it? Can somebody tell me?
No, it's a girl. She's got a little clown nose on her face. Yes.
No, I haven't got to that yet because I haven't opened it. Okay.
No, there's a name at the bottom there. Brittany Ortega, I think that's
her name. I see. Thank you so much. Right, I'm going to read this one because I want to spare Ardelia her voice because I know it's not that. Not
I
quite
know, I
right
start yet. Coughing.
Okay.
Yeah, give me a short one when you find one. All right, I will.
Okay, the thing is, I find it difficult because I don't actually look at them before I open them, if you know what I mean. So I don't know if they're long or short. This is my first glance at them. But we'll see. When it comes up, I'll open something. Shut up, Kate. You're talking too much. Okay. Oh, no. Listen to the first line. This is so cool. And so I resolved to go sober. I laid on the top bunk and stared at the ceiling, less than a nightmare away from my face. Racket and ruckets fucked outside my window, and as they erupted, a small thought occurred. You should quit drinking, the tiny thought whispered. You should quit, aha, and you should quit sulking. You should also refer to yourself in the first person. I'm pretty sure Hump wrote that last one, but still, it forced me to reckon with what I get out of, or feel I get out of, a drink in my hand. For starters, I feel it's a writer's anesthetic, like smoking in pool halls. I don't make these rules. The poet sits lonely but fearful of people and bounces their line breaks off corks, quarts and custards. Deeper, I feel it grown and rewarding, a bitter burned trophy for not getting hurt on, the drive home from 16 damn hours at work. Kids have their toys and TVs to come home to. Grown folk have baps, better luck next time ribbons. Deeper, I feel it grants easy excuse to articulate things I desire. And that is a sad thing which cannot be fixed by unsloshing my crossed heart alone. End poem.
Oh my goodness. You know, this is just a fabulous poem of somebody that's expressing themselves and, you know, the things that they're going through. You know, sometimes alcohol to me affects people in different ways. You know, I have my friends who will turn into chatterboxes. I've had friends that just get so happy and dance around. And then I have friends that like to argue and get in fights and you can't control their anger. You know, drinking is always not a way to solve problems. All they do is they make them deeper and basically you drown in them. Now, I'm not talking about your occasional drinks at a football game and, when you go out to after work or when you're celebrating the birth of a child or an anniversary, you know. And then there's also drinks that look like alcohol that don't have any alcohol in them if you like the taste. The thing is to, you have to decide, you know, obviously the sulking, there's something here that it can depress people even worse. And people, you know, do have their beers, but they're in the home and they're not driving. And, you know, right here where she's talking about kind of alarms me a little bit, where she said, well, I look for it. You know, I never recommend anybody drink and drive, even if they're going out, you know, from work after work, you know, eat something to help it from, you know, just saturating in your veins where you think you can drive home. But, you know, driving buzz is driving drunk. And it's not safe for anybody. I don't care who you are and how old you are. You know, if you're going to drink, please be safe. And if liquor causes your depression to get worse, you know, that's not a good thing. Try to find something else that will help you deal with this, even if you have to go get counseling. So I really like this poem, and I like the honesty of it, but I also see the danger of it, especially with somebody, you know, so young. And, you know, let me tell you, just because you're young doesn't mean that older people aren't doing the same thing, and it's just as bad no matter what age you are. And I'm not trying to be preachy. I'm just terrified. And so let's get some more comments. What did you think about the poem, Katie, that you just read?
I endorse what you say wholeheartedly. I'm not one for giving advice to anybody. It's not, you know, it's not something I do. It's just a mm-hmm. personal thing. Mm-hmm. Unless I'm asked, I will, you know. But both my little sisters to drink. It's a family weakness. Mm-hmm. I'm two cousins. Mm-hmm. So I endorse exactly what you said, and I back you every inch of the way. I don't preach. I don't tell people what to do, but it's dangerous. It's dangerous.
Yes.
You've got a weakness, and the weakness is there. So, not to bring the party down, that's my comment. Beautiful poetry. I actually enjoyed it very, very much. I thought it was so clever and so well written, and just mm-hmm. it just moved. Yeah, because
she can see what's going. She could see what's going on around her. That's one of the things. Teenagers aren't stupid. Hello, people. They see, and I agree, Katie.
Yeah.
You want to finish your comment? Yeah, sorry,
put
it in.
No, oh, darling, you can button anytime. I talk rubbish anyway, so button anytime you want. I don't know what I'm doing this for. Oh, dear, I don't feel I've got any right to tell anybody anything, but I enjoy it. So this was beautiful. I loved it. I really did. I thought it was very clever and very deep. And
okay.
Thank you for sharing.
Yes, ma'am.
Thank you.
Exactly. Thank you. And Laurent, thank you. Laurent.
Are you on mute, Laurent?
No, he might be coughing.
You
and
know me
I'm,
all
I'm
too
pick...
well. You know me all too well. I was on the first line of this poem, and so I resolved to go sober. It's a declaration of intent. And that's about where he leaves it in terms of drinking, really. But what it does do is force him to sit and think, as the poet says, to reckon with what I get out of or feel I get out of a drink in my hand. And he discusses the writer's aesthetic, at smoking in pool halls. I don't make these rules. In other words, this is what a poet does. This is what a writer does. This is what another person does, singer perhaps. It doesn't matter. If you're an artist, there are things that you do or are expected of you. So he and you know, this is all tongue in cheek, certainly. But it makes a lot of sense. He feels that it makes him feel grown up. I feel it is grown and rewarding.
Mm-hmm.
And he speaks of that bitter burn trophy. He where's the line? I feel it grants easy excuse to articulate things I desire. It's an excuse to say whatever he wants in other words. And all of that makes it a sad thing. And it can't, none of that can be fixed by stopping drinking. He's going to feel the absence, and he calls it a sad thing. And so he may be quick, but it is a deep regret.
Fantastic comment. Thank you so much, Laura. And what did you think, Frank?
Well, you know, if you go scroll down, you see some of the comments there about what's written there. You can feel
Are you breaking up, Frank?
Okay. I'm saying that she makes reference there to her late deceased husband who died because of this So this poem now, you know, it gets into the perfect sense. You know, we're talking about an individual who's really experienced this in a personal nature, and it's so raw. The poem is raw, so intense, and I can understand down to some bit of the poem.
Yeah, I was just looking at what she said. She said, "My husband drank himself to death in 2020. My relationship with alcohol isn't at all like his was. I am, however, hilariously depressed, and I find that the drink adds unnecessary flair to the sad sweater vest. So we'll see what being sober for a year feels like. It helps. The sads or simply magnifies my lack of options." I can understand, where she says that she is drinking, he died from drinking, and, you know, she's also trying to stop drinking. And, you know, it's totally understandable when you're, you know, sad that, you know, you do take a shot once in a while. Somebody that wanting to go sober is having issues with drinking because of what she dealt with, you know, and I'm so sorry to hear this happen to her. My apologies, and I wish her all the best. And Gray Eyes, what did you think? And thank you for bringing that out, Frank.
Gray? Well, you know, the poem is haunting in its sadness, you know. It's very tragic that she's went through this. I thought the poem was introspective and personal, and it was a pleasure to have her share this with the world. So I wish her the best in her journey.
Agreed.
Excellent.
Thank you, Greg. And we're ready for our next poem, and we have a caller 707. Who am I speaking with?
Irish Rose.
Irish Rose, would you like to make a comment on the drip poem? Did you get to hear it?
No, I didn't get to hear it, but I will check it out later.
Okay, all right. So, here we go. Are we ready for our next poem?
Yes. It just jumped. Our next poem is A Forgotten Color by Pam Ray, and we have a SoundCloud Gray. If you could work your magic, please.
Sure, you betcha.
Thank you.
No problem. Here we go.
A forgotten color. She is a forgotten color poured out and splattered, struggling to be found and given a name. A train ride between blue skies and lavender fields, and the dust creaks, lingering in reddish-brown hues, finding a home between her toes, curved and pink like the inside of seashells. She's not in love. She's simply in love with the idea of breaking the cactus and drinking the ocean. End poem.
Oh, my goodness. Pam, you know, there was something about your voice that this is the first time I heard a difference in the pitch and in the softness of your voice in reading this poem, A Forgotten Color. I loved the imagery all throughout here, and I especially loved, you know, I love wild fields of flowers and lavender fields. I've never seen a full lavender field, but I imagine it's just absolutely striking. But I liked here where you said finding a home between her toes, curved and pink, like the inside of seashells. She's not in love. She's simply in love with the idea of breaking the cactus and drinking the ocean. Cactus is very juicy, and cactus fruit, you know, when you pick it off, and of course you got to be careful of the thorns. You know, love sometimes has thorns. But when you delicately pick up that cactus fruit and bite into it, and all the juices just flow down your sweet juices, it's a more watery than a sweet hot peach in the sun. I found your imagery, not only was it beautiful, I could smell it and I could feel it. And who, I'm in love with love. So I totally agree with this entire poem, and I really loved your beautiful voice and the texture that you read when you read this poem with such softness. What did you think, Katie?
I agree. That was a revelation. That was just lovely. So soft and sweet, and this is a lovely poem. She's not in love. She's simply in love with the idea. Yeah, I can get that.
Mm-hmm.
And I agree with you. The fruit from a cactus is absolutely wonderful. And there is nothing more wonderful, let me tell you people, than making love in a lavender field. Uh-oh, so cool. So yes.
So you speak from experience there?
No, not at all. I just heard. And I realized when I said it, I should have said it.
You can say it.
Never mind.
You can say
what
it.
The heck?
I say all types of things. That's all right.
Inquiring minds want to know, Weaver.
Of course.
Oh, lilacs. It's quite prickly. Lilacs is it's quite
prickly. Wildflowers
avoid
for
it.
Me.
Yeah. And we're going off Pam. Pam, I'm sorry. I'm taking.
I've been going back to Pam's phone.
We
right.
are.
Thank you, Katie. Lawrence?
Yes. I'm sorry, I didn't hear you.
Oh, that's okay.
Name. That's all. It was in La La Land, A Forgotten Color. And then she gives us gorgeous colors. The lavender fields that were mentioned before, the dust that sits between her toes, and the reddish-brown hues. But to use color and make it the subject, I thought was quite brilliant. It's a forgotten color. It's such a powerful metaphor for a person that perhaps no one pays any attention to whatsoever. And that's really where I found the strength of this poem to be, in portraying that kind of character. It's a lovely piece.
It is. No, she doesn't. Thank you, Laurent. And what did you think about the poem, Frank?
Well, the poem, beautiful imagery, beautiful metaphors. I like the whole notion of lavender fields. I'm not going to get to that point to extent of what Weaver was saying, but lavender fields.
Uh-huh.
Well, Frank's an old spice man.
You know,
I
love the smell of Old Spice. I don't care what anybody says, it's an old cologne,
but
it's so good. Mm-hmm.
I thought the whole notion there, I think she did a fantastic job. I agree with you on the song, Cloud. Her tone of voice, you know, was just apropos to the occasion. And I like the notion of the forgotten color there. There's so much color within us, so much color within nature, so much beauty in us as well as nature, and we the connection of our human nature with nature and Mother Nature itself. I like that notion there. She's not in love. She's simply in love with the idea. And breaking the cactus and drinking the ocean. Well, you know, I haven't been up north of Texas yet too much, or actually over there by El Paso, so I haven't seen much cactus, so I'll have to drink one of those one of these days, break one. And if I get a thorn right over my mouth there, it might be painful.
It would be painful.
Great. Yeah, it would be.
Thank
great
you. Home. Thank you, Frank. And Gray Eyes, your comment on Pam's poem?
I agree with you about the inflection of her voice. You know, it was very unique, just read. And, you know, she captured the emotion that the poem evokes with its beauty and its serenity, you know. So it's such a touching write, full of love and desire. So beautifully written.
Thank you, Graham. And Irish Rose, would you like to make a comment?
Her phone got dropped again.
I think she's having issues with her telephone.
Is she on mute?
No, Wi-Fi issues.
Yeah. Okay. No. Well, I'll keep checking. So let's go ahead, and we are in our second hour of Open Poetry. I cannot believe we've just been on here an hour. Can you believe it?
No, I can't. Okay, I've got it, but it's not going. Please bear with me a moment. Come on, you little. Come on, move.
There you go. You can do it, Reba.
I'm trying with every fiber of my being, but this little monstrosity of a stupid, stupid PC will not. I'll just do this again, okay? Just, la, la, la. Oh, my God. Oh, yeah, yay! I did it. Humanity, juxtaposed by S. Sharp. And Laurent, would you care to read this, please?
Certainly.
Thank you.
Humanity juxtaposed. White walls carry silent conversations. Disdain in a stare across the room from wall to wall. Beethoven's grim countenance framed in cherry wood. Hitler's menacing existence mounted and encased in dark mahogany. At odds, beauty of the fifth concerto drama building to a crescendo of sound vis-a-vis passion for creation, Eden in music overrun by a panzer tank along the front lines of destruction under a blitzkrieg, hail of bombs, sounds intensifying, violins playing, strings quickening, conductor raising arms in wild gesticulations, barbed wires strung across my eyes, a voice screaming in German. Sounds like hell itself, speaks, and raised. Sieg Heil salute. Crowds roar. Silence. White walls and steely stairs. End poem.
Oh, my gosh. What a fantastic and powerful poem, and you read that so well. This was just a fantastic read by, oh my gosh, I just, I love the way you read it. I would love the power of this poem. You know, congratulations on your silver medal. You know, I have always been horrified when people have taken classical musicians' poems and bent them to the horror that went on during this time with Hitler in Germany. I never thought the music matched the horror, the raising of arms, you know, the barbed wire, the torture, the screaming, you know, like he brings out, you know, the sounds like hell itself speaks, hands rise, Sieg Heil salute. Crowds war, silent. You know, I've always found this sick to my stomach. In the same way that I find, you know, not trying to get political or not, don't think I am political, but when they take songs that we have enjoyed all our life for different occasions and then they use them, you know, the same in the political rallies to get the crowds all worked up like they did during Hitler's time. And, you know, to me, I find it, being somebody who loves music, being a musician, it makes me sick to my stomach. And I thought this was just fantastic. Not the images that that he wrote about, but the images of using music to bring a crescendo. Oh, just upsetting.
You should check the AN,
Lou. Here. Pardon me?
You should check the AN.
Go. Would you read it, please?
Oh, Lord, it's long.
I'll read it.
All right.
I can do it. It's a short read. Prompt 11. The grim portrait of Beethoven hanging over the piano was removed from its nail, and equally grim portrait of Hitler was hung on the same nail. Mama insisted that Beethoven be placed, if not over the sofa, at least over the sideboard. This resulted in the grimmest confrontations. Hitler and the genius hung opposite each other, staring at each other, saw through each other, yet found no joy in what they saw. Wow. That was prompt 11. It says it all.
Yeah, that really
Thank
speaks
you, Lauren,
to the
for...
title of the piece.
Yeah, it makes me sick. It really does. It just, to me, if you study history and you just go look at, you know, the things, massacres, I'm going to let everybody else comment because I'm kind of getting stumped here because this really affected me. It's a fantastic poem by Scott. Go ahead, Katie.
Yes, I tend to agree. There are certain things in life that should never, ever be forgotten. Should never be allowed to be forgotten. I don't care about children. I don't care about if they're being... Oh, God, you okay? You okay?
Take yeah, I'm okay.
Breath. Okay. I don't care if they're being brought up in the same way. It should not ever, ever happen again. It makes me sick to my stomach. Yes, so beautifully written poem. Everybody is allowed to say whatever they wish to say. That is their right. Could never be changed. And if people have opinions, great. Let us know your opinions. Because once something's out in the open, it can't be hidden. And that's the whole thing about what can happen in life. Atrocities can be hidden or they can be misbelieved, which I find amazing. This has been a good night because things are coming out and things are being said. And it's not a bad thing because, you know we all have our own opinions. And thankfully, we can all voice our own opinions. So beautifully written, I think. Very well done. Interesting talking point.
Yes,
it was a talking point, yes. And so thank you very much for sharing that with us, S. Sharp.
And... Marant, thank you for pointing that out. I would love to know what you think.
I think that the poem is not so much about the horrors of war or the beauty of music for that matter. The title says humanity juxtaposed. On one wall you have Beethoven, on the other wall you have Hitler. And it's so beautifully presented in that first stanza, white walls carry silent conversation. Disdain and a stare across the room as if Beethoven and Hitler are actually looking at each other, each one disapproving of the other. That second stanza, of course, illustrates the beauty of Beethoven and then moves into the horrors of Hitler. But it's not quite what it's about. It's a recognition of the horror, but it's the silence. The white walls and the steely stairs, the taking of their two lives, and the word juxtapose is used, and it's humanity juxtaposed. It's a wonderful pairing of the divine music and the profane Hitler.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Laurent. And Frank, I'd like to know what you thought.
Well, you know, I somewhat grew up. I was actually too young to know about Franco, Spanish dictator, but I do remember him seeing his monument next to Picasso. And I was so young at that time, I had no idea what that was. I realized really that the art or the odd thing of that, you know, like, for example, here you see a portrait of Hitler, Beethoven. And I start to understand it now more. There's a dichotomy there. There's a parallel thing there, you know, that perhaps we don't understand it as being art, but it's perhaps presumed to be as an artistic thing. I'm not getting into what the hall is and all that. I'm talking about, there's so much about humans that we perceive. That's why when he says juxtapose, you know, humanity itself, we juxtapose things because we perceive things perhaps differently than others. So I thought it was a fantastic mm-hmm. observation of humanity.
Thank you. And Gray Eye?
Yeah, Laura did a fantastic read of that poem. But, you know, the poem is very thought-provoking. You know, it really speaks to the variances of human beings, you know, like the juxtaposition between humans and, you know, their nature and their roles in our lives. You know, one brought beauty and one brought death and tragedy. So, you know, you couldn't be more opposite end of the poles. And I thought he did a fantastic job of bringing that out.
Yes, he did. Thank you so much, everybody. And we're ready for our next poem, Katie.
Oh, really? Oh, okay. I was trying to find something. Hang on, I'll be with you in a moment. I'm halfway down this page. I can't find what you were talking about, unfortunately, at the moment. So I'm just going to go back up and I'll go back up.
Yeah, I sent you, you don't have to put it in right now, but just somewhere in the open poetry.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And I will be with you in a moment. Oh, yeah, here we are. The one I had before. Isn't this fun? Are we not enjoying ourselves?
Yes, it is.
We're all having kittens here. Well, I am.
There's a glass of wine there. Sherry there, Weaver.
Oh, I need that so much. You've no idea.
Oh, there you go.
But I'm hooked onto this headphone thing, so I can't move. Okay, we have Naked Skin by Cedar Chapman. And, sorry. Laurent, would you care to read this?
I just read.
Oh, see, I knew I hesitated for a reason. Frank.
So let's pick Frank, eh? Or Gray.
Gray. Gray could be.
Anybody, just pick one. I don't care. Okay, Gray.
Any man.
You can read this piece.
Any man.
You can read
this
piece well.
Okay. Any man. No, you're not any man. Gray, would you care to read this for him? Sorry for my muck-up. I noticed I said muck-up.
No problem.
There you go.
Thank you,
This is called Naked Skin by Cedar Chapman. Look deep into my eyes, past my naked skin, bereft of cherry Revlon rouge, with only a smudgeon of dirt blush streaking across my cheeks. Allow me to dress you in a wood robe, a wool robe woven by my mother and her mother before her, its fabric dyed with crimson clay and lapis stone, draping you with the spirit of 100 generations. Let the weight of your scent, your scant polka dot bikini, be lifted from ravaging little boys and destroying little girls. You look down as the world turns, enslaved by the silicone going of flashing emojis. Raise your eyes and watch the twinkling glitter and comet tails paint the midnight sky. Hold my hand and listen to the black-necked crane trumpet by using the rustling tree line. Inhale the bonfire smoke that creep along the moonlit path to greet you and your yurt. I shun the waterfall of the buffalo blood, blood flowing from your long-barreled muskets. I need not learn how to enjoy a happy meal in the name of your crucifix. Lift me up to hug, laugh, and weep with you. Gold and silver, rainbow beads, are more shiny colors, are mere shiny colors to adorn our clothes so we may dance the goba like sparkling stars for our elders. You are lost in your pile of plastic trees and styrofoam snow. Stay with me. Let me show you the way. End poem.
Thank you, Gray Eyes. And Cedar, congratulations on your gold medal. It is well deserved. This is such a beautiful poem on the different cultures that are around the world. And, you know, I found, how each culture has its own beauty and the way each land lives with their own culture that is appreciated and is cherished. And right here, I just thought this was just absolutely beautiful. You look down as the world turns, enslaved by the silicon gong of flashing emojis. Raise your eyes and watch the twinkling glitter the comet trails paint the midnight sky. Hold my hand and listen to the black-necked crane trumpet by the rustling tree line. Inhale the bonfire smoke that creep along the moonlight path to greet you at your yurt. You know, this is just beautiful. And the difference in the cultures and the simplicity of the cultures. And, you know, this isn't, not all cultures have encompass modernism, the television, the telephones. They have kept their culture. And to me, I find this absolutely beautiful. The beauty of nature, the beauty of spending the night with somebody and enjoying everything that you see around you instead of always having your face in your telephone. You know, I just thought this was just gorgeous and well-deserved gold medal. What did you think, Katie?
Oh, yes, definitely. I love to see this kind of poetry. It makes us think a little bit more than we would normally, because quite happily go along our own ways, living our own lives and not really worrying too much. But we need to. We need to be aware that this is, you know, when are we going to become just one? As opposed to everybody having, I'm not saying that we should all look alike or think alike for 1 second, but why can't we just accept each other? Well, what is wrong? I've never been aware of colors of skin. It's not something in my nature. It just doesn't bother me. It doesn't make me think about anything. I just don't recognize it. People are people, good people, bad people. That's kind of how I look at people. That's a very naive way of looking at it. I understand that, but to me it doesn't matter.
No.
It's good people or bad people. I don't care what the color or the creed or anything is. You have your beliefs. I don't have any beliefs. You know, not a problem. And I think this is a very good way of bringing that to people's attention. Yes. So thank you very much for that share.
Thank you, Katie. And what did you think of Cedar's poem, Laurent?
Well, in many ways, it's an indictment of modern life. Just to jump to the end, for instance, you are lost in your pile of plastic trees and styrofoam snow.
Mm-hmm.
Stay with me. Let me show you the way. And the way that he offers is what's contained in the last full stanza. I think, for instance, I need not learn how to enjoy a happy meal in the name of your crucifix. It's the world that is important, living with nature, living a true life, not an artificial life. Where is that? When he says, you look down as the world turns, enslaved by the silicon gong, a of flashing emojis.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you can see what he's saying right there, along with the very moving line, let the weight of your scant polka dot bikini be lifted from ravaging little boys and destroying little girls. No, you don't dress that way. You dress in the wool robe woven by my mother and her mother before her. Its fabric dyed with crimson clay and lapis stone, the things of the earth, not the things of electronic fancy.
Yeah, exactly. Thank you, Laurent. Wonderful comment. And you, Frank?
Well, you know, I've not been to Tibet, but I would love to go to Tibet one of these days. It does make me remind me of two ventures I had of native people. One was in Morocco with the Berbers, and one was here in the States with the Meskwaki Native Americans. And I really learned much about, I'm not saying that they didn't have telephones or that, but for the most part, they maintained the traditional way. And I thought it was just breathtaking for me just to be within a normal setting where you realize that person is actually just like you, another human being. You know, perhaps they have less than what you have. Perhaps you have more than what they have. But this poem really encompasses me, the whole notion of what humanity should aspire to. And I thought it was just a beautiful poem as well.
Great. Thank you, Frank. Gorgeous comment.
You're welcome.
And you agree?
Yeah, I really enjoyed the poem. You know, it really speaks to, you know, a modern man not being able to see the beauty within and, you know, how tragic that really is, how much we've lost, what our generations before have brought to us here with. And, you know, it's the boys destroying little girls, you know, that's just tragic. And it's definitely a modern thing where, you know, the female form is ogled and presented, you know, on stages, and their beauty is measured by their placing in a, you know, contest of beauty. So that's just tragic to me. But it was a wonderful write, very thought-provoking.
Thank you, Gray. And we're back to you, Katie.
And I'm unmuted. Right, we have Drops of Erotic Honey by Poetic Picasso, and I think there may be a SoundCloud.
Right.
Yeah, I'm on it. Okay, here we go.
Our lips are moistened with a rich layer of a viscous nectar, infused with an aphrodisiac sand, in taste of orgasmic seduction, to please the ravenous hunger of our sensual tongues, as we initiate the discovery of our sexual desires. Our fizzes soaked in the lubricity of our arousing intimacy, my spanner's susurration swim your ears as I caress your trembling sighs. Two sexy silhouettes dance to the rhythm of the naked night. Our hips move with the friction from the pouring honey. We bounce up and down within the thrust of epistemic delight. A stimulating shiver suffused your Elizabeth flesh as we bathe within the substance of our passionate ride to lover's sweet bliss of the ambrosia feeding our insatiable craving. Our entangled bodies are drenched in the melting drops of erotic honey. The echoes of our moans vibrate with our penetrating eyes. And I sip from the gushing milk from your excited bosom as you indulge in the tempting tip of my honey dipper. We both are steady and having lactactose sabor tus labios dulces de la miel, deliciosa, tu cuerpo estremece con mi lengua, mis besos son la bebida de tu sed. Ay, qué rico. My mouth is full of galactic flavor, your sweet lips of delicious honey, your body trembles with my tongue. My kisses are the drink to your thirst. Oh, how juicy. Olay. Olay.
Oh boy. I started hearing that disco song by the Ohio Players, The Taste of Honey. They're the ones that sing it. But, oh my God, yeah, okay. This is delicious from the top, sticky delicious from the top to the bottom. But I have got to say your last stanza, oh my goodness. Where is it? It says, por mi lengua. Mis besos son la bebida de tu sed. Ay, qué rico. My tongue, my kisses are the drink to your thirst. Oh, how juicy, ole. There was something else that, oh my goodness, where you were talking about the echo of our moans vibrate with penetrating eyes. Oh, God, that's so hot. And then there was something also that I loved. This is soaked in lubricity of our arousing intimacy. My Spanish serrations swoon your ears as I caress your trembling thighs. Honey is so sticky that just the thought of that, your bodies just do not want to separate from each other because they're pulled into that sweet honey sticky. You would just have to flick it all off to get clean, wouldn't you? Oh my gosh. Katie, what do you think?
Oh, my God. I am wondering who's going to do the laundry. And I think...
Oh, there you go.
As my basic mind right back to the whole housework. I can't help it. I thought this was... very, 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 very good. Very good. I'm speechless, as you can gather. We have our lips are moistened with the rich layers of a viscous nectar infused with an aphrodisiac scent. See, I can't talk. And the taste of organic seduction to please the ravenous hunger of our sensual tongues. I love a sensual tongue. Got to be said. Oh, very, very well done. I think this is my favorite because we've got
there
honey.
You go, Lisa.
And we've got sexual
bounce up and down
tongue.
There.
Yes, I like it a lot. This is going to get put away.
I don't think there's so much bouncing. Oh, God. The problem is that you can't see what's in my mind.
Oh, can I?
Blame Pam for the prompt there.
Oh,
this is based on the prompt there by Pam there.
Oh, is it? All right. Drops of erotic honey. So she's to blame. Okay.
Get into
I can
the,
just
the
hear my grandmother. When she was shocked, she used to go, ah, yes!
Okay.
Get into the contest there. Up there, the contest, and you'll see the prompt itself.
Oh, I looked.
And that's self-explanatory.
I looked. And there was more sticking than
bouncing. Oh, there you go. Those play pad there.
You know I went and looked.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, man, my face is red. Oh, my goodness.
Breathe,
you can do it. Oh, Ron's listening to us women here go on. What did you think?
I think that if you check Frank's nightstand, he's got a big book sitting there. It's called 1001 Sexual Metaphors, because he never seems to repeat his sexual metaphors at all. Everyone is fresh and new. And of course, the language. You can't argue with the language. The lips are moistened with the rich layers of viscous nectar, infused with an aphrodisiac scent and taste of orgasmic seduction.
Yeah, let me tell you. After a while, I think my eyes bulged out of my head when I saw the honey dipper.
You've seen one of those. You know what they are.
Me? Moi? No. And what did you think, Gray Eyes?
He's looking for one.
Either I'm having hot flashes or the temperature just raised in my room again.
We'll send you a honey dipper over there.
Yeah. But it was powerful with metaphor and its description. You know, you really brought the heat with this one. I thought it was fantastic. And
oh,
beautiful read as well.
What did you say, Laurent?
And I got to blame.
I didn't say anything. I'm staying out of this.
So I think I heard him say, "Ay, qué rico."
Oh, my goodness. Oh, we got so much poetry to go. I would like to get Laurent and Nuno's poem in before we go back into the open poetry, if that's possible. Correct.
Yeah, because I'm hanging on to consciousness at this point.
Oh,
yeah,
okay.
You could do
so
Laurent.
Let's get you done. Yeah, let's do Laurent first because he's tired.
Okay. Yeah, I could read Nuno's afterwards.
Okay, let's see. Where is Laura?
Oh, Weaver said she's been dropped. She said she's been dropped.
Oh, no.
Let me see if I can find the piece. Laurent's piece.
Okay, well, can some tell... Okay. Well, can you... Well, I don't even know if she can even... Okay, I've got too many windows open.
I'm trying to figure out Laurent's
piece.
Hopefully
she can... call back.
All right, I got it. I'll put it up.
Okay, go ahead, Ron. I apologize.
No
problem.
Hello?
Okay.
There she is.
Welcome back, Weaver.
Oh, thank you. Hello.
I'm happy you're back.
I was dropped. Was it something
I know.
Said?
That's what I'm telling you. The site drops you, and it doesn't matter if you're a host or a co-host. It'll just drop you. But... let's go ahead and get to Laurent's piece.
Okay.
And thank you for putting it up on the board.
This is got an AN to explain what is going on in case there's any doubt in anyone's mind. Raven Dawn. Divine finger extends. Uplifting man. Raising him up from foe familiar bipedal beasts, bestowing morality, higher consciousness, gift of spirit, homo sapiens, lovingly sown. Single bruised steed goes awry. A choking vine birthing evil as collateral consequence carefully intertwines. Its claw hammer prying at prize its spirits, tangled deeds wrenching at joints, never meant to separate. evil shadow form infiltrates without shape, amorphous, murderous being, invisibly visible, filling any hand, infinite tool called to purpose, suffering inflicted on the unwilling by the willing. Morning's humid haze hangs at the garden gate. Thickly sweet odors slowly ascend, faintly folded in moldy leaves and notes of honeysuckle sulfur as the serpent descends, camouflaged, coursing across crunching dead leaves, slipping slowly into spiritual reality, bound by days in Earth's continuum. Comes the eclipse, sinister black lightning, scattering light, crashing, plunging, searing the atmosphere, pulse flashing, disintegrating, dissolving raw into the heated swelter, raven dawn. Sibilant voices heard, identifying patronymics, whispering war threats of corrupted Slavic, erupt. Serpent's coils twined tighter, squeezing Ukraine into braids of blood, unraveling into flowing fields of death, dotted with Hades' fire. Life unspools, fate cuts at common threads, landscapes layered and dead ignite a world lost. Once again, folded in on itself, answers seem shrouded in mist. Men look up, searching the skies, alone in trenches, families underground in bunkers, fearful. The soldier looks down, pulls a feather from the mud, ground into the sole of his boot. Overhead, against the brightening dawn, olive leaf now drifts, ghost-like in the air, released from wings of a single dove. Divine hearts. And Irish Rose
you
is the author on this piece.
You both did a fantastic job on this. You wove us through the beginning of time into history where we are now. You know, man was on earth, was at peace with that earth and peace with the animals and peace with the ground. And at that time, there were no divisions of how they lived and how they survived and how they had to learn to work with each other to survive in that element until the greed, like you pointed out, and evil of man developed into this warlike creature where instead of death just filled the grounds with want and to take what was not theirs. And we can see this all the way into, sadly, into Ukraine, where they were living peacefully and celebrating their holidays and, you know, living their simple life. And now with the evil of the greed and the warmongering of wanting more than what was already in their hands to take from others who were trying to live in peace. And, you know, it's just so sad when we turn on the news and we see the searching the skies alone in trenches, families underground in bunkers and fearful, you know, from being just afraid from protecting yourself from animals. We have gone, you know, and we have gone from the simplicity of men living on the earth to the blood horrors that we're seeing and living in now. This was a fantastic poem written by you and Irish Rose Laurent. It's something to so deeply think about. And Katie, what did you think?
Well, I have to agree with what you said so eloquently.
it is such a horror to be a human sometimes. I despise and hate, which I know I shouldn't, because of the hurt that's caused and the death and the despair. And I wish it would stop. I can't listen to the news anymore. It just makes me so sad that people can be so awful to each other. Can't they look at each other and think, that's somebody's father, that's somebody's brother, that's somebody's son? You know, stop it, for Christ's sake, stop it. It's not acceptable, it really isn't. Somebody somewhere has got to be able to do something to stop this, and nobody does. I'm just being naive again, of course, I know that, but it's horrible. And thank you so much, Laurent, for that eloquent, beautiful piece of poetry. I enjoyed every word of it, much as it tore my heart apart. So thank you.
Thank you. And what did you think about the poem, Frank?
Well, first of all, I thought it was a great collage between the both of them. You know, there's a lot of wisdom reflected in this poem. You know, there's so much truth is spoken. I'm not going to get into the political nature of it, which we all are well aware of it. But there is a true fear that lies within this poem that talks about the evil within ourselves, you know, the evil within man. The atrociously we conduct ourselves toward our fellow brethren, again, for greed or whatever you want to call it, for so many things. Yet we don't realize that we all live on the same little planet here. It's called the Earth. And it could go, you know, up by here and just blow the planet to pieces. And, you know, so we somehow, we are, you know, the main people, or the main, you know, everything revolves around us in the universe, when it's the opposite, you know. We revolve around the universe in a sense of meaning. It doesn't need us. So it's time we need to wake up and realize that we should, fellow brethren, learn to live with each other and learn above all to preserve the earth. Great.
Thank you so much. And Gray Eyes, what did you think?
Well, they did a beautiful collab, and you did a wonderful job of reading it, Laurent. You know, it's very tragic, you know, the state that the world is in. And, you know, I wish that things could be different, but unfortunately that's not going to happen anytime soon. So, but it's definitely an interesting piece on the subject of modern man and the way he's taking the world over with war and causing a raven dawn. So just a beautiful write and fantastic read as well.
Thank you very much. Can I say a couple of words?
Would you like? Yes, yes. That's what I was going
to
ask you.
All I want to do is read the AN. I just want to read the AN, okay? Primitive men, once part of a natural world, lived as animals do. For the most part, their daily actions are born of the need to survive. Greed, thievery, lust, power were not prime motivating factors that existed. Now, at this point, the divine imbues primitive man with consciousness, morality, the spirit, a soul, uplifting him to modern Homo sapiens. Now, until the uplift, evil does not exist. In the act of planting that metaphorical seed in the garden of Earth, perhaps Eden, one twisted seed existed, burning evil. The act of uplift contained its essence, good and evil, forever intertwined. Part of the eclipse is played by Russia. Part of the snake is played by Putin. Field of war is Ukraine. And God help us all.
Thank you, Laurent. Thank you.
You're welcome.
And now we're back to you, Katie, for Nuno and Selena and all the open cultures. We've got time. We can't sneak it in, people. Put it in to the beginning of next week's show. Okay.
Well, do you want to just do two comments now?
Yes. Does the wine still taste the same by Nunu? And yes, if you would like to read it, please.
All right. This is a poem here by Nuno Cardoso. It's called Does the Wine Taste the Same? And it goes like this. Assist me to seize the throne. Make room beside the seat of thorns. crown me with a sword around your finger. Let me shield you with coverture and rose water's covenants of tomorrow. El Paso salsa seasoned tacos tucked in tortillas. Mexican Jim Dandy female hands so soft. Jot down encounters where poems fit. Sura macereira, brandy pours at bloom. Desert flowers and the ashen gardens of smoke. Children rejoice in a stranger's arms, eased by the idioms of a foreign tongue, crafted in the Portuguese discovery dock, as the world wide web pick up the phone, soothed become the grey of their mother. In this wine cellar with a heart-shaped cask, take off the lid, sip it with the slightest of kisses, taste grapes that ferment on floor, darling. And the red that you get drunk on, does the wine you taste, like feed me more in the bone.
I thought you read this poem beautifully by Nuno Gonzalo. I loved this poem when I read it. And in fact, I'm going to read my comment that I wrote. Just like a long relationship is aged like fine wine, the sweetest taste of cut fruit in salvia fills the palate and lips with its aromatic essences. Each sip a different taste of adventure, loving kisses and soft trickles of peaceful moments. Love is intoxicating and one can never stop sipping. And then I told them, spicy tacos, que rica. I enjoyed this poem by Nuno. And I love the artwork also. And Katie, are you back? Because I'm showing you're on.
Yes, I've not been away again.
Okay.
I'm still here. Well, okay,
stepped
here.
Up for some
all
tacos
right.
There.
Yes.
Tacos. And nothing like tacos and sangria with fruit.
There you go.
What did you
now
think
you
about
know
this
Texas
poem?
There.
Yes, definitely. we know we're in Texas. It sounds wonderful. It sounds like an amazing way of life.
It is. It's good.
Oh, yes. Lay back and enjoy yourself. I like the sound of it.
Mm-hmm.
El Paso salsa seasoned tacos tucked in tortillas. Mexican Jim Dandy female hands so soft. I think this is lovely. I really do. I think this is just a sheer ode to love, life, wine, food, and kisses. So thank you very much for sharing that. I really enjoyed it. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. And what did you think about the poem, Laurent?
Oh, I said it has a flair to it that I thought you would absolutely love, especially the second stanza. El Paso salsa seasoned tacos and tortillas. That is wordplay that I like. Mexican Jim Dandy female hands so soft, jot down encounters of poems fit. Nuno is a hell of a writer. I don't really know any.
He is.
I'm going to have to really look at it carefully because I don't see a single. He doesn't put a wrong foot forward. In this wine cellar rests a heart-shaped cask. And that stands as excellent as well. It's a real pleasure to read.
Mm-hmm, it is. And Hope, if you and Nuno like salsa, they make this salsa that's called Hernandez, and it's avocado green salsa, and you mix it up with sour cream, and you put it on everything, eggs, potato tacos, meat tacos. It does not matter. It's really good, really, really good, and especially if you like tostadas or flautas, it just enhances the taste. And I'm sure, Laura, it's avocado green sauce by Hernandez. It is delicious if you like salsa. It is so good, Laura. Your mouth waters. And what did you think about this poem, Frank, that you read fabulously?
Well, you know, I'm never going to pass up any tacos there. For the time that I've been here, Texas, I have to admit that tacos, I've grown fond of tacos. But I have to say that you can get new tacos, but I definitely love the name there with the wine. and someone who grew up with wine cellars, that's just breathless there. He took me on to a wonderful memory of wine tasting there. And I know Portugal has beautiful wine as well. So I have to end both of them with this full year. I've not been to El Paso. It's still one of the places I want to be. I want to visit, but certainly Mexican food and Portuguese wine, great mix there. So I commend those both of them. You're not gonna complain because of Mexican food and Portuguese wine. Who goes wrong there?
Exactly. Fabulous comment. And how about you, Gray?
Yeah, Frank did a wonderful read on that poem. But, you know, the poem is full of the enjoyment of life and love. I thought it was just beautifully crafted and well presented. In this wine cellar, rest the heart-shaped cask, take out the lid, sip it with the slightest of kisses, taste the grapes that ferment on forevermore, darling. Smell the red that you get drunk on. Does the wine still taste like? Does the wine still taste like? Feed me not more. Yeah, epic, right?
Yeah, there's nothing like kissing somebody when you got hot lips. Because your lips swell. So when you kiss you taste that wine and the salsa. Ooh, yeah. Wonderful poem, Nuno. Thank you. And Katie, we're ready for our next poem.
And we have it. We have To a Pretentious Pedant by Stelina. And there's a SoundCloud, if you could, Gray, please.
Yeah, you bet.
Thank you.
No problemo.
Oh, I like that. No problemo.
You may be considered cerebral when you partake in a convo and love to appear arcane to those you do not know. You're a despot of good diction and eloquent expression, impeccable inference which makes a good impression, with haughty demeanor and an acrimonious sneer, you look down on those whom you love to mock and jeer for their gaping grammar gaffes, and in absolute abject terror are almost apoplectic at each sorry spelling error. Waxing lyrical on phoneme stress and elision, sardonically smirking at faux pas with derision, you never can condone such an egregious abomination. You are infallible when it comes to perfecting pronunciation. You love to cast aspersions on others' inferior schooling just because they don't follow your certain type of ruling. You put such store on perfect speech, which is fine, but it doesn't make you a genius, just a superior swine. Well, common sense is a quality that you do not possess. Wisdom grown with experience, which I must confess, you never have displayed, speaking as a general rule, making you appear like a complete and utter fool. Your foot is often in your mouth, you never think twice. Instead of putting others down, could you simply be nice and share your unique knowledge in a diplomatic way? Put your brain in gear, first consider what you say, for it is far more important how you word a comment. Instead of showing off your prowess, concentrate on content. How many politicians reel off their fancy speeches, yet their every good intention never actually reaches the plight of so many on an actual daily level. Still never mind in their rhetoric, we can always revel. If their fancy words were dollar bills, we'd all be rich indeed. and if they could solve all problems, no one would be in need. Intelligence is born of more than what is found in a book, and at the end of the day, no one gives a flying.
I have got to say, I love Selena's humor. I love that the quote she wrote for, which is so true, the ability to speak does not make you intelligent. Qui-Gon, Jen Pump 5. And we know he could not, he always said the wrong things. I love science fiction, and I like Star Wars and Star Trek. I'm a Trekkie person, and, it's just, you know, stupid is and stupid does. That's just it. You know, she simply said here, you know, how they look down on those whom you love to mock and jeer. But there was something she said in here about their faux pas. Basically, you know, it doesn't matter how you talk, how educated you are. If you're a fool, you're a fool. And, you know, you even look more like a fool when you try to give advice because you have absolutely no intelligence of understanding the matter. I don't know if you've ever talked to somebody who has diarrhea of the mouth. It's, you know, they just go on, and you just try to find a way out. And, you know, she does. Nobody gives a client about what you have to say. I loved it. Loved it, loved it, loved it. And it was funny. I didn't know she could write such humor. And what did you think about the poem, Katie? Delicious.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, this is just so good. Selena, you are amazing, lady. I loved it. I loved it. I love the way your voice imitated what I would imagine this person would sound like. These people are entitled. These people think that because they can retain facts, it makes them better. No, it just means that you can retain facts. I just have no time for people who think they're better than anybody else. I don't consider myself superior to anybody. Never have done, but I don't consider myself inferior to many people either. You know, I'm just a happy medium here. I'm quite happy where I am. So yes, I thought you brought that to the fore amazingly. Selena, I loved it. I loved it. I want more of that, please. That was incredible. And the way you read it was so slick. So well done, my dear. I loved it.
Oh my goodness, you're not going to believe this. We only have 90 seconds left. Okay, what did you think about the poem, Frank? And thank you, Laurent, for hanging out.
Yes, I'll be very brief. I thought it was a fantastic piece, very witty, and very much on spot with what the prompt is. I've talked more,
and,
but I'll leave it to that.
Thank you. And I would like to know what you think, Gray.
Well, she's got a tongue like a whip, you know. She really hit hard with those words and the inflection of those words. So beautifully crafted. I love her work.
Agreed. Thank you, everybody. Anybody's poems not read, you know I will add them to next week. We will get every single poem read, even if it's put in next week. Thank you so much to my co-host, Katie, and Frank, and Gray Eyes. And thank you, Laurent, for hanging out with us with that buttery voice. And I want to thank everybody that hung out in the group, Silent Tree, Hope and Nuno, Irish Rose. I'm sorry the phone kept dropping. Thank you so much for trying. And I love you guys. Good night.
Buenas
noches. Good night. Kisses to everybody. Love you guys.
Bye.
Good night, everybody.
Bye-bye. Good night. Bye-bye.
We're heading up there north for tacos, El Paso.
I'm hungry.
Bye. Now I am. I'm going to go make me some food. Good night.
It's better than Taco Bell there.
Oh, good night.
Homemade's always better. All right. Good night.
Good night.